Well, since this is Father's Day, here's a little sports quiz for all you dads. And don't roll your eyes, ladies. You had your day. You had your Mother's Day. This is Father's Day today. So what do these men have in common? Ty Cobb, Hank Aaron, Stan Musial, Derek Jeter, Willie Mays, Alex Rodriguez, A-Rod, Babe Ruth, and Barry Bonds. What do they all have in common is they are on the all-time hit list of having 1,000 hits as Major League Baseball players of all time. But what I didn't tell you is that right at the top of that list, there is a name that I grew up watching. And as I played baseball all my growing up and through high school, I can remember going to the ballpark and watching them. My granddad and my dad, we were at Riverfront Stadium and we're watching the Cincinnati Reds. We would make the trip from Northern Kentucky over to the Riverfront Ballpark, and there we had right behind home plate, and it was favoring on the first base side. We were watching as Pete Rose came to the bat. Pete, as you know, could go either hand in his batting, but he preferred left-handed. And so as he's lined up, he's crouched over in that classic form of his. He takes a fastball right on the big ham hock of a thigh the man has. I mean, we could hear the smack all over the stadium. I tell you, as a young person, I remember hearing it. Oh, my gosh. Pete Rose looks at, he stared the pitcher down. He threw the bat down. He runs to first base as fast as he could run. Everybody's watching. Is he gonna rub it? Is he gonna rub it? Is he gonna rub that leg? He never touched the leg. I'm telling you, everything in me wanted to stand up and point at the pitcher and say, what do you think of that right there? But the greatest moment Pete Rose ever had in his life was in 1985 when he was in hot pursuit of the all-time career hit record. Only Ty Cobb had reached over 4,000 hits in his career. But take a look at the screens here and let's capture that moment.
There seemed to be no doubt that this was the time for Pete Rose, and some were very glad of it.
I hope he gets a hit on the first time up, so release my tension. I told her I'm gonna have a heart attack.
The fans at Riverfront were ready to burst at the seams. They were ready to explode when he finally came to bat in the first inning. Again, the fans left their seats and they stood, hoping to get a good look at history. Pete's mom took a deep breath and watched with 50,000 others.
One ball and no strikes. Rose swinging and fouling it straight back. And again, the flash bulbs go off all over the ballpark. Last night, the first time I have ever seen that, in a baseball stadium, the 1-1 coming, and Rose takes it inside. He levels the bat a couple of times, Shao kicks and he fires, Rose swings.
There it is, there it is, get out, get out, all right.
Hit number 4192.
The moment was overwhelming. Pete's brother David put his arms around his mother. They embraced and cried for the next several minutes. The Reds players came out of the dugout. They hoisted their hero manager onto their shoulders. And there was a love affair at Riverfront Stadium between those in the stands and number 14, who had just conquered one of baseball's greatest records. Owner Marge Schott came out, hugged Rose, and presented him with a new Corvette, license number 4192, of course. While the Padres sat and waited, the stadium shouted, cried, and clapped. Finally, the moment got the best of Rose. He had to brush back a tear. He looked to Tommy Helms for support, and then his son Petey raced out of the dugout and hugged his dad in a very touching moment. It was something everyone was feeling.
How can you not be emotional? I mean, people that just are fans were emotional, so why shouldn't he? I think it's very... I'm glad he got emotional. It's right to the heart.
It was the hit literally heard around the world, and it was a typical Pete Rose hit, going with a pitch, hitting it solidly, a clean hit.
Were you glad it was a clean hit?
No doubt about it, John. I'm probably the happiest guy in the stadium. I was just so thrilled that it was something that was clean that everybody knew right away it was a hit, so they didn't have to wait for a decision.
I think it's the biggest thrill I've ever had, and as big as you thought it would be, I think it was bigger.
It was bigger than most people and probably even Pete Rose had figured. The fans said thanks for waiting, then they said thanks for the memories. It's one memory Cincinnati will never forget.
An amazing historical moment for the game of baseball. But you know, a reporter caught him afterward and said, Pete, as you were standing there on first base and the whole stadium was on their feet cheering and clapping for your accomplishment, what were you thinking about? He made the most amazing statement. He said, I was thinking that maybe my dad looked down from heaven and he would have been proud of me. Out of all the things that man could have thought about at that moment, he was thinking about making his dad proud. Maybe my dad would have been proud of me of this. There's something in people that requires and yearns and longs for the approval of a father. It's a power that God has put into every single dad, a unique and powerful role to fulfill in the lives of our children. We influence them greatly, either for good or for ill. As dads, some children grow up and vow that they will never be like their dads. They spend their whole life reacting against their fathers. But even when their father is exerting a strong influence over the child, that may be negative, he still is influencing them. But hopefully, as believing dad, as Christians dad, we will influence our children for the good and for the right and to live godly lives. But in Genesis chapter 49, in verse 28, Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, calls his 12 sons around his bed. And he goes down the list from Reuben to Benjamin, 12 sons, and he speaks a blessing over their lives, not just in general, but every single son, he calls them by name and details an appropriate blessing for their unique strengths and calling in life. Genesis 49 and verse 28 reads it this way. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is what their father said to them. When he blessed them, every one of them, with the blessing appropriate to them. In these blessings, he speaks many things. But one thing he did say to Simeon and Levi are pretty amazing. He said to them, their swords are implements of violence. Let my soul not enter into their counsel. If you remember, Levi was the tribe that the priest came from. But Levi and Simeon once had, in revenge to their sister being raped, had literally slaughtered some Hivites. And there the prophecy was geared towards them. There's a lengthy prophecy to Judah. Out from him will come forth a Messiah whom nations will bow down to. The longest prophecy and blessing is given to Joseph, and it is quite something to read it. Jacob then blesses his grandsons because Joseph brings them to him, Ephraim and Manasseh. Manasseh is the oldest, but Jacob blesses Ephraim as if he was the oldest, reminiscent of his own life. The Bible says, in God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless these lads, he says to his grandsons. Let my name be named upon them and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. You see, one of the most stabilizing and meaningful things a father can give his children is a father's blessing. It is clearly a stabilizing factor in a child's life. And without this blessing, there will always be a sense of something missing, a void that's created that nothing else can fulfill. Now, our Heavenly Father sets the example and the precedent for a father's blessing. We see it in the book of Genesis through the patriarchs of the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then to his 12 sons, and then to his grandsons. The benefits of a father's blessing are far-reaching and readily make a difference between success and failure, victory and defeat, happiness and misery in an individual's life. In fact, the first promise that God gave that has this, the first commandment rather, that has this promise with it, honor thy mother and father that it might go well with you and that you might live a long life. Ken R. Canfield wrote The Power of a Father's Blessing. The National Center for Fathering that he founded says every child needs a dad they can count on, someone who will love them and know them and guide them and help them achieve their destiny. Giving your children an intentional blessing can not only strengthen your relationship with them, but it can have a ripple effect on future generations. A few of us are verbally and physically affirmed on a regular basis from our own fathers. So when we talk about blessing our children, many of us dads, we don't really have a clue. What does that look like? How do I go about it? Can I bless my kids when I myself never received a blessing from my own father? You see, if you seek to bless your children and your grandchildren, realize it doesn't have to be overly formal, tense, or complicated. Blessing a child can be short and simple as saying, I love you. You make me happy. I'm so glad God gave you into our family. I'm proud to be your dad. Remember, the blessing that comes from you, Dad, isn't based on performance or an event, but can be spontaneous, and it simply could be around the kitchen table or walking around the track where you affirm the gifts and callings. It's so beautiful for me to have my son Jason in this week, and every night we've been hitting the track over at McNeese. By the way, let me just put a little footnote here. This coming Friday, I'm scheduled for surgery at MD Anderson, and I want to encourage you to put your prayer time for me on, put the afterburners on. And I'm believing God that he has covered me, and he goes before me, and who knows, the surgery could be canceled in the name of the Lord. Even before I get there, it could happen. You say, Pastor, how do you feel? I feel completely healed on the inside. I feel strong and victorious. I'm not a victim. I am the healed of the Lord. Redemptive healing flows through my veins. He sent his word to heal me. Therefore, I am healed and deliver me from my destruction. I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. I'll live a long life and be satisfied. And he will show me his salvation. So last night, as we were doing our couple of miles around the track at McNeese, I was just sharing conversation with my son, and he begins to open his heart in regards to his future. And I begin to just affirm him of his giftings and his callings. And so, not to go into all that conversation, but I was happy to hear him say, Dad, I really feel like God's calling me into some form of ministry, and I want you to help me along this way. And so I thank God for that, because that's a work of the Holy Spirit in his heart and in his life. Isn't it amazing that God created Adam and Eve, and the first thing that he did is that he blessed them. As soon as Adam and Eve were created, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves on the earth. The first thing God did for his newly created family is that he blessed them, and he said, be fruitful and multiply and have dominion. You see, there's something about the blessing of the Father that opens the pathway for your journey to be fruitful, for you to multiply in blessing and to have dominion. You see, the blessing of the Father releases mysteriously and supernaturally, if you will, identity. He blessed them. It releases an approval, a value, a worth. And it opens the pathway for destiny or divine purpose. The Father's blessing, it is something that God established and God has ordained. Have you done it, Dad? Have you just grabbed your son one day and say, I'm so proud of you, son. I see the gifts and qualities in your life. They are strong and you bless me. I can remember my dad telling me, you inspire my life, son. Your walk with the Lord, you encourage me. and he was in his 80s. One day he grabbed me, he said, "Son, you are so blessed. You're a rich man." I didn't feel very rich that day. I had four little kids, and we were struggling to pay the bills on a moderate pastor's salary. But when he said I was rich, I said, "Dad, how do you figure I'm rich?" He said, "Because you have a family that loves you and respects you." What powerful words from a father. He was blessing me. He was affirming me, not only as a son, but as a father myself. Isn't it amazing that when Jesus came forth, he is considered the second Adam, representative or federal head of a new creation that God was going to bring birth in the new birth. And at the time of his baptism and inauguration into ministry, the Heavenly Father blesses Jesus. You recall he went to be baptized by John, and as he came up out of the waters, the Bible says the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove came and landed upon him, not like a dove, but as a dove. And then something supernatural happened. Everybody heard God Almighty, the Father's voice. "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." The reason this is so important is because at this point, Jesus had never laid hands on anyone to see them healed. At this point, he had not given any messages or teachings. He isn't being affirmed and blessed because of his performance. He is affirmed and blessed by his Father in heaven because he's the Son. That is the Father's blessing. When we affirm our children, not for how they perform or how good they're doing, we don't wait and hold it like a carrot at the end of the stick. We simply look at them and say, "As your father, I bless you and I'm grateful for you and I'm thankful for the gifts and callings that God has on your life." In a profound and mysterious way, the Father's blessing validates identity and releases purpose. The Father's blessing is, in large part, seldom experienced, however, in Christian circles, even though this blessing is strongly mandated throughout the Scripture. In most cases, it's not understood or even known about. Very often, a man may be a good dad, he just never gave the blessing. How can I give a father's blessing, ask one, if I've never received one? If you are a father, God has ordained it and given you the authority and the right that your words can influence your child for the rest of their life. But you've got to affirm them verbally. The father's blessing validates worth and value. It's a stabilizing factor in a child's life. A child needs more than friendship, even as they get older. You are their dad, and of all the men on the planet that have ever lived, you are the one and only, solely and unique man that has the God-given authority and favor to speak into your child's life, to say, "I bless you. I am proud of you. I am grateful." More than a friend, dad, they need that blessing from you. Oh, yes, friendship develops as our children get older, but never forget that you have that sacred place of the Father's blessing. Without the blessing, there will always be some sense of a void, some emptiness in the soul. You see, it's often referred to as the Father's wound. It describes the injury of a child who does not sense or receive the affirmation of a father. This wound can occur intentionally and unintentionally, but the power of the Father's blessing is supernatural. What is a father's wound? It's the injury of a child who does not sense or receive the affirmation of the Father. This wound can occur in a human heart. What are the characteristics of a person that never got affirmed by their father? The symptoms are wide and varied. They can be a person that's consistently over-defensive about making mistakes or about mistakes they've made. They cannot handle criticism, feeling inferior, insecure, feeling intimidated in the presence of other men, overly controlling in order to cover up the feelings of inferiority, little or zero emotional connection with others, and very often in and out of relationships. You see, no pain can strike more deeply into a person's heart than being abandoned emotionally and or physically by your dad. John Eldridge wrote in his powerful bestseller, Wild at Heart, that the father wound produces posers, men who wrestle with the question of whether they have what it takes. When a man lacks his father's affirmation, he becomes either passive, insecure about new challenges, or he becomes aggressive, forward, and affirming, trying to gain people's approval by achievement. The fallout and the pain of the absentee father wound is the fact that 27 million children will go to bed tonight without the presence of a father in the home. It's amazing that the most important thing God thought to say at the close of the Old Testament in the book of Malachi and in reference to the Messiah coming, the very last sentence in the book of the Old Testament says this, that when the Messiah comes, he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children. And he's going to turn the hearts of the children back to the Father. Why? Because it's that important. Because of the father wound and the absentee dads, every 8 seconds a child drops out of school. Every 26 seconds a child runs away from home. Every 47 seconds a child is abused. Every 67 seconds the government tells us a teenager has a baby. Every 7 minutes, a child is arrested for drug abuse. Every 30 minutes, a child is arrested for drunk driving. Every 36 minutes, a child is killed by a gun. And every 53 minutes, a child dies of poverty. And in America, every day, 100,000 children live on the streets homeless because a single mom could not afford to take care of them. Bill Glass, a former outstanding football player in the NFL, played for the 1964 champion Cleveland Browns, 4 times a Pro Bowler. He was called by God after his career to initiate a prison ministry. In 1969, before prison ministry was even heard of, he launched Champions for Life. He ministered in over 2,000 prison systems across the U.S., For 35 years, he would invite professional athletes into the prisons to give their testimony and then to follow up, train volunteers who would be committed to building lasting relationships, especially with juvenile offenders. After 35 years of prison ministry, would ask, "What is our country's biggest problem?" Bill Glass said, "A lack of the father's blessing." The FBI studied the 17 kids that had shot their classmates in little towns like Paducah, Kentucky, Pearl, Mississippi, and Littleton, Colorado. All 17 shooters had one thing in common. They had a father problem. Glass says, quote, "I see it so much. It's just unbelievable. There's something about it. When a man does not get along with his father, it makes him mean. It makes him dangerous. It makes him angry." Bill Glass spoke to over 400,000 people a year, 3,500 congregations, about the power of the Father's blessing. He interviewed 44 inmates on death row in Paraheim, Mississippi. He asked all 44 how they get along with their father, and all 44 said they hated their father. Dads, don't get so hung up on being so macho you can't bless your child. "Well, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about. I provide for them. I feed them. I put clothes on their back, shoes on their feet. Isn't that enough?" No, it's not. That's your responsibility. But they need your affirmation. They need you to look them square in the eyes and say, "You're my son, and I'm proud of you. I thank God for the gifts, the talents, and the abilities that you have." The late Kirk Douglas, years ago, after he'd written his book titled The Ragman's Son, an autobiography, he said, "One thing I regret, my father never blessed me. He sold rags on the streets of Philadelphia, but he never blessed me." Kirk Douglas said, "I never got over it." Bill Glass spoke to a United States senator with 5 grown sons, and the senator confessed, "All my sons hate my guts." "Why?" Glass asked. "I always keep the blessing just out of their reach. I'm always saying, if you would have only done this, it would have been better. You see, some dads are like that. You did good, but if you'd only done it this way, it would have been better. That's no blessing, friend. That's keeping the blessing out of reach. The Father's blessing is unconditional. It's not, I bless you if you do this or you achieve that. No, I bless you because you are loved, you are valued, you are my son, you are my daughter, and you are in our family, and I bless you. When a man lacks his father's affirmation, he either becomes passive or aggressive. Eldridge correctly points out that a woman cannot affirm a man. She can encourage him, but she cannot answer the question of his manhood that he holds within his soul. The need for the father affirmation became clear to Bill Glass like never before when a close friend of his who played in the NFL was so discouraged. This man was 6'6", had a deep voice, was an outstanding athlete, but he hit a very wounded place in his soul. For his entire athletic career, this man tried to get his dad to attend one of his games. He would buy tickets and leave them at the gate at his high school and college and pro contest, but they were never picked up. Finally, his dad agreed and attended a Houston Oilers professional game. The young man was so excited and elated. Starting on defense, his father's presence so inspired him that he sacked the quarterback, 5 unassisted tackles, and he blocked a field goal. And after the game, he went straight to the stands to hear his father's affirmation. The much sought after and coveted blessing, however, rang out as a devastating blow. Why did you let that little guy get around you? His father asked. From that moment, Bill Glass said, my friend, this young man's life spun out of control. This is the same sad testimony of many men who can trace their rejection to a single moment in time when instead of receiving a father's blessing, it was never given or held out of reach. A minister once confessed that time stood still for him. At 10 years of age, his father and mother were fighting continually. Finally, his dad was fed up and he was leaving. Desperate to keep his dad from leaving the house, he put a note on the steering wheel of his car that read, quote, if you love me, Dad, please don't leave. His father simply took that note, he crumpled it up and threw it at his little boy, hitting him in the chest. And the resulting rift was deep and lasted for many years. Eventually, with God's grace, the father and son repaired their relationship, and the father even attended his son's 5,000-member church. But think of all of the pain that had went under that situation. Bill Glass says, in Chicago, Cook County Jail, there's 11,000 inmates, and there were 18 that were ages 9 to 12 who had committed adult crimes. Juveniles. He got them all together and he asked all of the 18, do you carry a gun? 9 to 12 years of age, and all of them raised their hand and said yes. He asked all these juveniles between age 9 and 12, how many of you use drugs and are in a gang? All 18 raised their hand. How many of you are sexually active? All 18 raised their hand. How many of you have a father that lives at home with you? Not a single hand was raised. Having been through 1,000 prisons, when a man's a violent criminal, Bill Glass writes, it was because he had a weak father or an absentee father, a father that really never blessed him. In the Florida prison system, he writes, 60,000 inmates are incarcerated. But the amazing thing is, out of 60,000 prisoners, only 13 are Jewish. Why? Because the old Jewish fathers know how to bless their children. In the prison system, there's very few Jewish people. I mean, you'll find a lot of former Baptists and Methodists, Pentecostals, Catholics, and Presbyterians, but not many Jewish boys, a lot of Gentiles. But the Jewish families during the bar mitzvah blessed their sons and they blessed their daughters. Well, I know my dad loved me, but he never did say anything to me, writes one man. The blessing communicates three things: love, value, belonging. Dads that make a difference affirm their kids. Spend time with them. Be a coach, not a critic. Be a positive role model. Get involved in their lives. I was amazed today that this quote that I was going to share was actually in the newspaper today. It's from the late coach Jim Valvano. He wrote, quote, "My father gave me the greatest gift anyone could give another person. He believed in me." You see, it's the well done message. God did it for his son at his baptism. Without the father's blessing, children are psychologically and spiritually weakened. One inmate said, "My old man's been dead for 20 years. I hate him so bad, every morning I dig him up from the grave and beat him to death every single day." What if you never got the father's blessing? Then ask your dad. My dad was in his middle 80s when I asked him if he would speak a blessing over my life. And in my 60s, early 60s, my old dad, with a trembling voice, struggling to see the print, spoke words of blessing over my life. I'll never forget it. When your father speaks a blessing over you, it affirms identity and worth and value, and it releases a pathway to be fruitful and to have dominion. Genesis 27, verse 34, when Esau realized that Jacob had deceived his elderly blind father and got the firstborn's blessing, the Bible says Esau wept bitterly, and then he cried out and said, "Oh, haven't you saved even one blessing for me?" I love the story of an interview with George Foreman, heavyweight boxer. You may know he did something quite extraordinary. He had all of his sons named George. That's a lot of Georges in that family. Some people accused him. They said, "Look at him, he's just an egomaniac." But Foreman explained it like this. He said, "Growing up, I never knew who my dad was, and I never met my dad. I was often picked on at school and shamed for not having a father at home." He grew up with a hole in his identity, never knowing who he really was. So he dedicated his life to become a better father to his sons. And by giving them all his name, he had meant to give them the gift of identity. Their father was claiming them proudly as his own. The gift of identity is the most important gift a dad or a mom can give their children by modeling love and acceptance. I'm going to ask our musicians if they would come. One father summed it up this way: "It's not about being a perfect dad. It's about walking the progress out in life." He said, "If I could do it all over again, I would love my wife more in front of my children. I would laugh with my children more at our mistakes and our joys. I would listen more, even to the youngest child. I would be more honest about my own weakness and stop pretending perfection. I would pray differently for my family. Instead of focusing on them, I would focus more on me. I would do more things with my children. I would be more encouraging and bestow more praise on them. I would pay more attention to little things, deeds and words of love and kindness. Finally," he said, "if I had it to do all over again, I would share God more intimately with my family. And I would use every ordinary thing that happened in every ordinary day to point them to God." When you read Genesis chapter 49, it's an amazing thing how one dad named Jacob blessed 12 sons. Every blessing is unique. And long before psychologists ever came up with personality traits that represented by different animals, Jacob calls forth animals like Judah. He says, "You are the lion." He uses other animals, and he speaks words of blessing into his son's life. And all 12 sons received affirmation. His name was Anthony Clark. By birth, God-given, he was strong. He became a bodybuilder and really earned the title World's Strongest Man. He was destined to be strong right from the amazing days in high school when he shot to the top of his athletic pack. In fact, I want to show you indeed how strong Anthony Clark was. We're going to see a little video clip of him bench pressing 735 pounds. But get this, those of you guys that work out with free weights, he doesn't have the overhand grip. He has an underhand grip. Be amazed at the man's strength that God gave him.
And then a hero comes along with the strength to carry on and cast your fears aside, and you know you can survive. So when you feel like hope is gone, look inside you and be strong, and you finally see the truth that a hero lies in you.
If he was seeing stars after he got up after that one lift. Adam Clark, physically God-given strength. But you know what? He longed for his dad's affirmation and never got it. And when he was in high school, he literally was to the point of suicide. Anthony's dad was abusive and a hateful man. Anthony only wanted, as a little boy, to hear his dad's praise. But in high school, once when Anthony scored 4 touchdowns in a single game, his parents didn't even bother to attend. When he got home, he thought, surely this game will make my dad proud. Instead, his dad tied his hands behind his back, hung his strong son from a rafter, and beat him with an extension cord until the boy passed out. Clark says, in the next few months, I was so discouraged. I felt like taking my life. My father had left us, and all hope seemed to be gone. But then one day, someone sponsored an assembly at Anthony's school. There was entertainment, but at the end of the show, a speaker talked about having inner strength in life. Then everyone was invited back for pizza that night. He said everybody was going for the pizza, but I was going for the message, and I knew something was going to happen that night, but I didn't know what he was talking about when he said he knew a father who could love you unconditionally. Here I was looking for that love, and he talked about a girl named Susan that had taken her life because no one said, hey, I love you. I thought he was talking about me. That night he was talking about, if you make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you shall have eternal life. And then he said, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And I thought, how can a father do that? That night, Anthony Clark said, I give my life to the Lord, and everything changed. Following that, Anthony Clark traveled the country and the world telling young people that to have inner strength is the greatest strength of all, and that comes through Jesus Christ. So today, dads, let me give you some resolutions to think about. I do solemnly resolve before God to take full responsibility for myself, my wife, and my children. I will love them, protect them, serve them, and teach them the word of God as a spiritual leader of my home. I will be faithful to my wife, to love and honor her, and be willing to lay down my life for her as Jesus Christ did for me. I will work diligently to provide for the needs of my family. I will forgive those who have wronged me and reconcile with those I have wronged. I will learn from my mistakes and repent of my sins, and I will walk with integrity as a man answerable to God. I will seek to honor God, to be faithful to His church, obey His word, and to do His will. I will courageously work with the strength God provides to fulfill this resolution for the rest of my life and for His glory. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Are you without a father to bless you? The other day I looked up and said, thank you, Lord. My dad passed away this past August the 4th. There was a short window, but God gave me grace to receive my dad's blessing. Perhaps your father is deceased or has dropped out of your life. Or maybe he never took the initiative to bless you. Do you yearn for a father's blessing that you never had? Do not despair, it's not too late. Though I cannot lay hands on every man here today, I can, by God's grace, be a spiritual father and speak over you a father's blessing and to ask for his healing for every word of abuse, rejection, belittlement, and limiting word ever spoken over your life. So this morning, I'm going to ask all the men if they would stand, along all the men, even boys and men. If your son is here with you today, I don't care if you're 80 and they're in their 60s, I want to invite you to come, and I want to speak a blessing over you. You say, Pastor, how could I do this? Listen, years ago, at a Father's Day lunch, I had written something out, and I started with my oldest son, and I just enumerated all his strengths. And then some gentle warnings of areas that could keep him from the fullest blessing. And I went down, my oldest, my second born, my youngest, and my daughter. And I read it to them, and they knew how their dad felt about them. You may be here, and your child is very much an adult with their own children, and you have grandchildren. It makes no difference. I wish my dad was still here today, that I could sense his approval and his affirmation. But this morning, if you've never gotten a father's blessing, maybe your dad was a good man, but he never even knew this information. I want to invite you to come and just gather around the front. And I want to speak some words over you and pray over you in the name of the Lord.
God loves us so. Oh, how he loves us.
Hallelujah.
How he loves us.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Oh,
thank you,
Lord.
Come on. Come on, men. It's not going to take long. As an expression of receptivity, I'm going to ask you just to open the palms of your hands and raise them. You don't have to raise them high, just raise them to wherever you're comfortable. I cancel all the negative, hurtful, limiting words that were spoken over your life. You are a gift from God. It was God who shaped you and formed you, who ordained you to live. I bless you with the healing of all wounds of rejection, neglect, abuse that you have suffered. I bless you with an overflowing peace, the peace that only the Prince of Peace can give, a peace beyond comprehension. I bless your life with fruitfulness, good fruit, much fruit, and fruit that remains. I bless you to be successful, for you are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. I bless you with health and strength of body, soul, and spirit. I bless you with overflowing prosperity, enabling you to be a blessing to others. I bless you with spiritual influence, for you are the light of the world and you are the salt of the earth. You are like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You will prosper in all your ways. I bless you with the depth of spiritual understanding and a close walk with your God. You will not stumble or falter of spiritual understanding. You will walk close and hear the voice of the Lord speak to your life. I bless you with pure and edifying relationships, that the word of God will be a lamp unto your feet and a light to your path. You have favor with God and man. I bless you with abundant love and a humble spirit, that you will bless your family and your children. I bless you as a minister of grace to your own family. You are blessed, my child. You are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Would all you men just say, Lord, I just received that in my life. Just receive it right now. Those of you that have a son or with you today, would you just reach your hand over him right now and just begin to pray for him. Just begin to thank God for his life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If there's a man here today or a son that does not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you may be strong in a lot of ways, but man, if you don't have the Father's affirmation, and I'm speaking of Father God's, there'll be a hole in your heart. There's one person at this altar that needs to get real and right and honest with God. Say, God, I need you. I need some inner strength to be the man you called me to be. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up right now and say, I need that prayer, Pastor. I need that prayer. Yes, yes. Anyone else? We want to pray for you today. I need a prayer. Giving your heart to Christ. This is your moment. Thank you. Someone else, raise a hand right here. Those of you around these men with their hands up, would you just pray? And come on, men of God, let's pray for these that have raised their hand. Father, we thank you for these hands that were raised, men whose hearts have been touched, men who know down deep they need more than what they have right now in life. They know the right path, but so often comes short. God, I pray that your hand would be extended to them, that mercy and grace would flow into them, that Jesus Christ would come into their heart and into their life, and they would be born again and anew and hear the affirmation of their heavenly Father. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hallelujah. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for it, Lord. I praise you for it in the wonderful, strong name of Jesus Christ. Everybody look this way. There are moments when a blessing can seem to be more formal. But Dad, it's not just a one-time thing. As long as you have breath, the words that come out of your mouth to your kids, they are powerful. And I don't care how old your dad is, I don't care how old you are, to hear your dad say, son, I'm proud of you, is an awesome thing. And we can't get enough of it. Receive that and give that. And if you're blessed enough to have grandkids, we get to give them a noogie and give them a blessing. Amen. I mean, God's good, isn't he? Come on, will you give the Lord praise this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, men, for being here on Father's Day. You did the best thing you could possibly do. As you walk out these doors today, take your father's blessing. Take it serious. And then when the moment avails itself, pull that kid aside and say, hey, I might not have told you lately, but I'm proud of you. You mean a lot to me. Doesn't have to be some big formal thing. You don't have to memorize 10 scriptures. Just from your heart to their heart, you express love. Amen. Praise God.